Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
$11 billion. That's the projected value of the plush toy market by 2026. And that's a lot of soft and cuddly love for sale. This week on the Make It Right podcast, I continue my conversation with Marissa Louie. She's the founder, chief designer, and CEO of Animoodles, a line of specialty plush toys with interchangeable body parts to allow children to create their own unique plush toy. With designers from Disney and Pixar working on the Animoodles collection, it's no surprise there's a whole storyline behind the characters. Here's our conversation. What is involved in actually creating a toy collection? Because you have two collections, which is a combination of six of the different sets of Animoodles. How do you go about figuring out that whole process for what the collection is supposed to have?
Yeah, so all of our art team were artists at Disney or Pixar. So, you know, we have artists who work on these big blockbuster films. And have worked on films like Coco, Toy Story, Inside Out, WALL-E, Up, Incredibles, Cars, you know, just a whole range of the top animated movies. And because of just that specialization of being some of the best people possible to make characters, you know, our team really knows what they're doing. And so our collections really start out with a process that ranges from including considerations of story. So asking, okay, in this Animoodles world, which region of the world do these Animoodles live in? So we started out in the wild jungle where our story starts, and we meet Miguel Frog, Hazel Sloth, Sophie Elephant, Iris Unicorn, Randy Orangutan, and Brady Lion. So those are the wild jungle Animoodles, and Iris Unicorn came from the Isle of Misos, and she tumbled into the wild jungle one day. So she's not from there. She's okay. From the land of mythical creatures. and so it's so our collections are dictated by the journey of the Animoodles, because all the Animoodles are on a quest to bring Iris Unicorn back to the Isle of Misos. The problem is the Isle of Misos is an island that no one knows where it is. It also floats in the air, and it also moves around, and it also has clouds that help hide where it is. So no one knows where it is. And so all of the Animoodles are bringing Iris Unicorn, you know, on this journey through the lands that they know and the world that they know, to try to find where she's from, because she's lost. So the next step on the journey is the wild jungle Animoodles landed in Storytale Forest. And that's the second collection. So there's always a mythical creature. There's always this sense of journey where the Animoodles are going from one place to the next. So the next collection is going to be another place that is a physical place in this Animoodles world. So our collections are really driven by story, and then we get into the details of each character, and each character is inspired by an international culture in the real world, in our Earth. every character is inspired by a different culture in order to children a little bit more about that culture, and to just bring a different sensitivity and a different personality to each character. And so it takes cues from the real world, and it maps them to the Animoodles world. And then beyond that, you know, we figure out colors for each animal, and we make sure that there's a nice range of colors in each collection, great expressions, that the Animoodles look different from each other, and that they also fit into the larger collection of all the Animoodles.
So how important is it, the fact that you actually have somebody like Dan Holland, who's an animator? He's created characters for The Incredibles and Toy Story 3. He's worked in the animated movie industry. How important is it to have somebody like that on your team who understands, A, what appeals to children visually, but also what storyline appeals to them? Because basically what you're creating is, are, in my head anyway, are these animals that you can actually make little movies out of. And that's where I'm assuming this eventually ends up, right? Like there's a big screen yes. Anna Boodles movie.
Why not? I'd love that. It makes all the difference. I mean, if we were to have stuffed animals that were mix and match, that were just, they look like ordinary stuffed animals and they weren't our own characters and they were just kind of generic looking, I think that would lessen the appeal of our characters. We actually did a lot of user testing around the U.S. in 6 cities to compare different types of stuffed animals to each other, different looking stuffed animals. And our Anna Moodle's characters tested the best. You know, kids would say, oh, that's so cute. And oh, look at his smile. Or, look at her hair bow. And look at how high quality this fur is. And it was just that combination of the character look, the fabrics, it all just came together into a great toy. So, I mean, even when you look at it, it looks like a regular stuffed animal that you can't take apart. And kids already start to fall in love with it. And then they figure out, oh, wow, there's something cool. I can mix and match. Oh, my gosh. So it's super important to work with Dan. He is one of the most talented people I've ever worked with in any category. And he is just wonderful in terms of distilling down a personality that I and or our story team will come up with and putting it to paper and going through it and working on it until he nails it. And he's just got that intuition and just that skill of creating characters that is really hard to find. It's hard to make a character look both different from anything out there, to look like the actual animal and to look appealing, and also to match the personality that we've described for the character.
We have talked on this podcast many times about the demands that consumers place on manufacturers now, whether it be food or diapers or whatnot. Consumers really want to know where their products are coming from. They want to know what's in them. They want to know that the people that are making them are treated properly. Did you have to go through all of that when you first started your business?
Actually, no. What's interesting, though, is I tried to, even when we're just starting out making prototypes, I tried to find factories in the U.S. that would make a small number of samples for me. Mm-hmm. And I called all these factories. There were no plush toy factories in the U.S., first of all. So I turned to fashion factories, and I figured, well, they could take a pattern. You know, it's not that different from fashion. They could take a pattern and take the fur and sew it into a toy. You know, no big deal, right? Doesn't have to be perfect. No big deal. No one would take me on.
Wow.
Literally no factory. And I called up, you know, a whole directory of factories. And, you know, and it's so siloed that the women's clothing factories wouldn't even touch men's clothing. Like they wouldn't make orders from men's clothing. So it's very specialized. And so after that, I said, okay, well, we've got to look outside the U.S. We have to look at international manufacturing, even for making prototypes, even for making samples of like 100 samples. We can't even make that in the U.S.
So is there any difficulty along your supply chain when you have to coordinate the combining of the toy with the packaging to put that finished product in a store?
So we, before we launched, we spent many months on producing packaging, different types of packaging. I actually prototyped them myself by taking paperboard and cardboard and using X-Acto knife and gluing together boxes and all different shapes and cylinders and octagons and all sorts of things. And so we went through a very thorough process to arrive at what our packaging would be. So our latest packaging, we decided to decrease the footprint of the packaging to reduce paper waste, because we saw that a lot of our customers were just throwing away the box. So we actually just instead just have a booklet, and we use plastic tags to connect all the parts so that they're not coming apart fully in store. So it's quite simple, but just more similar to how a regular stuffed animal would be merchandised.
Okay. So I think we're pretty much out of time, but I want to ask you two things. Do you foresee a movie in the future?
I would love that. We've actually been approached by a few studios who wanted us to pitch a story. We're open to any inbound interest, but you know, we've got just this incredible team who is really interested in taking the Animoodles characters and putting it into a new medium, given that that's the forte of all of our art team. And so, yes, we definitely would love to do that, or to even extend the story beyond just necessarily animated film and into other form factors or other different types of toys, books, etc. So everything's open to us, and it's just a matter of figuring out which thing is next, while also balancing producing our core character line.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's been a wild ride over the last 4 or 5 years for you. You've also been nominated as a rising star for the Women in Toys Wonder Woman 2019 Awards. I understand they're going to be handed out at the Toy Fair in New York City in February. So please let us know how you did. And we would love to hear that you are the winner. So Marissa, this has been great to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Janet. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. That is Marissa Louie. She is the founder, chief designer, and CEO at Animoodles. And they make plush toys that are attached, where you can take apart the limbs and attach them with real earth or magnets and create these funky little toys of your own design. So that is our show for today. Thank you very much for listening to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman. We'll see you again next time.